The Holy Gospel according to the 16th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 19th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please be seated. So this rich man, dressed in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful purple cloth, fine linen, purple that was reserved for only the best of the best in society. Lots of money it costs to wear this. Oh, and the meals that he gets to eat, they are delicious. So much food. You could smell it rooms and rooms before you get into where the food is. It's wonderful. He's done well. He's comfortable. And then we have Lazarus. Now, that isn't the Lazarus that was raised from the dead earlier in our gospel lesson. This is a different Lazarus. And Lazarus, well, instead of being covered in fine purple linen, he's covered in nothing but sores. And he's hungry. He's so hungry that he would settle for just the crumbs that fall from the rich man's meals, his table. And for company, well, he's got dogs who lick his sores. And dividing the two of them is a gate. A gate that protects the rich man and all that he has from that outside riffraff. Keeping it all stored up together, protecting him. And on the other side of that gate, we have Lazarus. Lazarus, who clings to that gate, perhaps uses that gate to lean against when he wants to sit up a little bit because he's so hungry he can't do it on his own. Life is hard. And yet, this gate divides the two. If only the rich man could share just a little, a few crumbs, care for him just a touch. But alas, that doesn't happen. And so the rich man, we're told, dies, as does Lazarus. And Lazarus, when he dies, covered in sores and hungry, he gets to sit now with Father Abraham. And it's wonderful. He's comfortable. It feels good. And the rich man who had it all, well, he's in Hades. He's tormented. There are flames all around him. And did you notice? Did you notice in the conversation that the rich man starts, who he addresses? Who does he talk to? He talks to Father Abraham, not Lazarus. He hasn't figured it out yet. He talks to Father Abraham. He calls out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." He's still treating Lazarus as less than. In his death, he hasn't figured it out. Send Lazarus. Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in agony in these flames. Wow. Lazarus isn't even a person. He doesn't apologize for anything. He just wants his needs met. And Abraham says, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things." I think the rich man does remember, and he still wants it. But then Abraham says, "And Lazarus, in like manner, evil things, but now he is comforted here." And you're in agony. So the gate that separated the two of them, Lazarus and the rich man, is a little bit different now. Because Abraham continues, "Besides all of this, between you and us is a great chasm. It's huge. Much bigger than a gate. And it's fixed so that those who might want to pass from here to you can't do so, and no one can cross from there to us." Not going to happen. And the rich man still doesn't figure it out. "Then, Father, I beg you to send him, Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Again, he's not even thinking about Lazarus or anything. He's thinking about his brothers. Maybe they won't be tormented. We've got to protect the family. And you can have Lazarus go do that because he's less than. But Abraham, of course, "Look, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." And the rich man argues, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." I don't think so. I don't think so. Abraham says, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, I don't know about any of you, but I've never seen anyone rise from the dead. If I did, it would scare me. And I'm not talking about, you know, the medical resuscitation-y stuff like that. I'm talking someone's like dead, like big dead, gone. How would it feel to encounter somebody risen from the dead? What do you think? What's up? Scary, right? Even more so than Halloween Street in Romeo. Right? Now, you're used to people jumping out and scaring you and having scarecrows and then skeleton people, or not really people, they're just skeletons, I guess. That kind of scary, but no, this is like real stuff, rising from the dead. And Abraham's like, "No, they're not going to listen. You had this man on the other side of the gate looking at him every day, hungry, in sores, and you couldn't even help him then, and now you want him to help your family." I don't think so. Now, with any good parable, and of course they're all good, I like to try and figure out which character in the story that I can relate to the most each particular time. And this time, yeah, I can kind of relate to the rich man. God has blessed me in lots of ways, and I have much, and frankly, I could probably do better about sharing. And sometimes I can relate to Lazarus, too, because, well, I've never been covered in sores and laying at someone's gate and that hungry. Spiritually, I felt that way sometimes. But I think there's other people in this story that we can relate to. What if we are to hear the lessons in this story as the five brothers would hear? Did you think about that? What if we're to hear the lessons that God has for us? And what if our church is the gateway to the world? We have lots of doors in our church, right? Some that we use more often than others. Some that we don't want to use because, frankly, it might not be too safe. But what if our church is the gateway to the world? And if our church is the gateway to the world, then who are the people that we would find at that gate? Now, last night I asked about some of the ministries that we have here at St. John. I'm still learning things, and I want to test you too. And we'll see if you get more than they did. Who are the people that we help? I know Rod has one.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Alcoholics Anonymous, thank you. He didn't know I was going to call on him. Thank you very much. What else? What was that? Samaritan House. Yep, that's a good one. Stephen Ministry, good. Weight Watchers. Oh, you all are like beaten last night's service already. Weight Watchers, who else? What's up? Weight Watchers, yep. The Veterans with the Quilts, yep. Nursing Home, good. Oh, man, they're like...
You provided a nice one yesterday. When you provided a funeral service for someone that did not have a church home.
Funeral services for people who need them, yep. Boy Scouts? That's pretty good. Seriously, y'all got about double what they did last night, so not bad for 5 to 9 in the morning. But who are the other people that are at our gate? What's up? Family, yep, family is there. Who else? I heard somebody else say something. Friends, yes. And how do we help these people? We talk about it, right? We talk about it. And as a gate, it opens both ways. So if we're the gateway, shouldn't we be inviting people to church and be a part of our community? Remember how many times it takes to invite somebody before they come? 15 to 20. Yeah, it's a lot, huh? In the back, they're like, whoa, it's a lot of times. Yeah, just for somebody to say one time that they're going to come. 15 to 20 times. Who gives up after about four? Or maybe two? How about once? Oh, I don't want to offend my friend. Yeah. Can we share more of what we have? Yep. And who are the people that we don't know about? Where have we looked to see who else we can help to be a gateway of love? What are the ministries that we have to pay attention to? And how, really, and I know this is a lot of questions, but this is what the parable is calling us to question about. How can we be instruments to lessen the chasm, to lessen the distance between the us and the thems? And are we willing to take the step to do so? That's the question. That's the question. It's a pretty fun parable, don't you think? As hard as it is to hear about Lazarus at the gate and his sores, it turns out pretty well for him in the long run because he ends up with Father Abraham. But, you know, perhaps the rich man, if he could have made things a little bit easier for Lazarus, perhaps they could both be sitting by Abraham and both could have had an easier life. And perhaps the rich man could have felt better about things if he'd only understood. It's not that hard to open the gate. Just got to be willing to do so. Amen.